member of the famous beat group, the Beatles, has been making a name for himself in quite a different field as an author. He is, of course, John Lennon, whose books have been well received by the critics. Wilfred Diaz talks to him about his achievement as a writer.
Let me ask you, first of all, how do you write? Do you write in a disciplined way, or do you write when it comes into your head?
It's more disciplined. The second book was more disciplined because it was starting from scratch of this sort of thing. You've got so many months to write a book in. The first book, a lot of it, I'd written it at odd times during my life.
Do you set aside certain hours in the day to write, or do you...
No, none of that. I haven't written enough. It's not a job, you see.
Would you like to discipline yourself? Do you feel a need to discipline yourself as a writer?
No, I'm not very keen on being disciplined. It seems odd being a Beatle because we're disciplined, but we don't feel as though we're disciplined. I don't mind being disciplined and not realising it.
You know, these little pieces in the book, they give an appearance of great finish, perfection. Do you revise them? Yes? No, and they don't look all that spontaneous. They look as though they've been worked over. Do you work them?
They're not at all. Nobody's ever said that. It's simply wonderful. They are spontaneous, and I hardly ever alter anything because I'm selfish about what I write or big-headed about it. Once I've written it, I like it. And the publisher sometimes says, you know, should we leave this out or change that? And I fight like mad, because once I've done it, I like to keep it. But I always write it straight off. I might add things when I go over it before it's published, but I'd seldom take anything out. So no, it is spontaneous.
The puns and all the other technical things, the puns, the onomatopoeia, the changing...
What?
That's a long word. I tell you, onomatopoeia is, you know, when... like
That's
buzz.
Three words of the day.
You know, when I say a word like buzz, buzz is an onomatopoeia because it's in the word is captured the noise of the bee. That's onomatopoeia. And you, probably without realising it, your book is full of them. You know what I mean?
Is it? Well, I'm glad to know that. A lot of onomatopoeias.
Well, you'd rather answer my question, because I was going to ask you whether these were contrived with all the...
No, I've just done a clue of what you're talking about, really. Automatic peer sounds like to me. That's probably why I'd change words, because I haven't a clue what words mean all the time.
Do the other boys give you ideas? Do they throw in ideas?
Yes, we were on holiday in Tahiti. I went with George, and I was writing The Singular Experience of Miss Anne Duffield, and it was the longest one I'd ever done. That was like a discipline. I was seeing how far I could go, because I always get fed up.
That's the Sherlock Holmes take.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah. And I wanted to see if I could carry on and on. I would have gone on and on and made a whole book out of it if I could, but I couldn't. I'd get a sentence, and it just didn't work somehow. So I'd say to George, have you got... What's another word for fly? And he'd suggest something.
That little piece, to me anyway, showed quite a lot of...
That's my big piece.
That's your big piece, I beg your pardon. That big piece showed very close acquaintanceship with the work of Conan Doyle. Do you read his books?
I'd read one or two when I was younger, but on this boat that we hired, there was a set of books, half of them were in French and half of them were in English. Well, just lying about in the sun gets a bit boring. Well, it does for, you know, I'm sorry about those people who don't lie about in the sun. So I just read every book that was in English, whether I liked it or not, just through boredom, really. And there just happened to be a big volume of Sherlock Holmes. I'm not mad on it, because they're all pretty similar. That's what I was doing, really, writing all of them into one.
I know you hate this question, but what are the other influences? Obviously, Conan Doyle in that case. All the names that people toss out when they read your things. Nursery Rhymes, Lewis Carroll, Edward Lear. You deny all this, will you?
I deny it, because I'm ignorant. I was ignorant of the fact of Lear. I'd heard the name, obviously, you know, somewhere, but we didn't do him at school, and the only sort of classic kind of, or very highbrow or anything kind of things I'd read were at school or that I knew of, and Joyce and Chaucer. I might have read a bit of Chaucer at school because I think they do that. So I bought all the books that they said it was like. I bought one book on Edward Lear, I bought Finnegan's Wake, Chaucer's, a big book on Chaucer, and I couldn't see any resemblance, any of them, a little bit of Finnegan's Wake, but Finnegan's Wake was so way out and so different, just a few word changes, but anybody who changes words is going to be, has got to be compared. But his stuff is just something else.
Can I ask you about Lewis Carroll?
Oh, Lewis Carroll, I always admit to that because I love Alice in Wonderland and Alice Through the Looking Glass, but I didn't even know he'd written anything else. I was that ignorant. I just happened to get those for birthday presents as a child and like them, and I usually read those too about once a year because I still like them.
A lot of people say your pieces are sick. What do you say to them?
If it makes people sick, they're sick, but I can read it without... It doesn't appear sick to me.
I think you keep very abreast of what's going on, actually.
You must do. It comes in all the time.
Well, obviously, I read most newspapers all the time, you know, because we're often in newspapers and it's still nice to read about yourself. So that's the main, and then after I've looked and seen we're not in it, then I go through the rest of it. And then I finally end up reading the political bit when I've read everything else. So, you know, I can't help being up with the times because
I am part of the times, so what we've been up with, really.
Let me ask you now, these pieces are very short and the books are very short. Do you envisage writing anything longer, ever?
Well, with the second book, most of it is longer than all the bits in the first book, I think.
But they're still mini-pieces, really,
but
aren't they?
To you, they're mini-pieces. To me, they're marathons. So, Sherlock Holmes, as I said, I was seeing how far I could go and how long. And I just can't... My mind won't stay on the same. I have to keep looking. I forget who I've brought in. But after I've written about four... Well, it's 20 pages longhand, some of the stuff. And I forget which characters have come in. I get lost and I get fed up and bored. That's why I usually either kill them... Or I killed a lot off in the first book or... But I tried not to kill everybody off when I got bored and tried to progress and see how far the people have gone. I just can't think.
Whom do you most admire among famous and great writers?
None of them, you know.
No, I'm not asking for influences.
No.
People you like. Dickens?
Dickens I don't like much. I've got to be in a certain mood. I've never read it. It's too schooly. I'm so young, but I'm still too near school to read Dickens or Shakespeare. I hate Shakespeare, and, you know, I don't care whether you should like him or not, because I don't know whether it's because of school or just because it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, I like Lewis Carroll. I've just been reading Winnie the Pooh, which I never read as a child. It was the sort of only sort of classic child one. I never seemed to get Winnie the Pooh, and I just discovered him about a year ago. Yeah. No, I don't know.
One or two questions to wind up. What about the other boys? How do they look upon your writing? What do they think about it?
Well, Ringo hasn't read anything I've ever written. Paul and George have. Obviously, Paul was, because at the time, a lot of people were sort of beginning to say, well, is that all they do? You know. And Paul was dead keen. He was that keen to write the intro, even.
And Paul, you're particularly close to, in a way, in this kind of verbal punning thing, aren't you?
No more than the others. You know, the verbal punning goes on between all of us, you know. So just all the time. It's not more with Paul than anybody. We're never more with one than the other.
Do you think they envy you, this kind of extra dimension that you have?
No, I don't think so. There's nothing to stop them doing something. I've always done it because I was doing this kind of thing before I was beetling. When they met me, I was already doing it, sort of. After the first couple of weeks, I'd probably brought out things, I'd read this. So this came before the other.
You get my meaning.
What about the drawings? Let me ask you about those. Did you draw like that from when you were tiny, or have you developed?
For a long time, yes, but not with so fine a line. I used to draw with almost anything, usually black pen or just an ordinary fountain pen with black ink in it. And then when it came to doing the book, I said, well, I draw as well, you know, because they've mainly got all the writing, and the drawings are very scrappy because I'm heavy-handed.
Does the drawing spring out of the story, or does the story come from the drawing, or is it...?
Sometimes, but hardly ever, because I draw like I write. I just start and draw, and if it looks like something vaguely to do with the story, I do it!
John, read something for us, will you?
Right, I'll read a bit of The Fat Budgie. I have a little budgie, he is my very pal. I take him walks in Britain, I hope I always shall. I call my budgie Geoffrey, my granddad's name's the same. I call him after granddad, who had a feathered brain. Is that enough?
John Lennon, member of the famous beat group The Beatles, talking to Wilfred Dieth about his career as a writer. The programme came to you from the BBC in London.